Today on Real Life Radio.
If God is calling you to go somewhere to do something or to be an usher, I want to be an usher. Why? I know, I just want to be one. Who's doing that? God's stirring you up. He's doing that. It's fantastic. No one's going to be in the aisle. I don't want to be an usher. Can you imagine? God doesn't do that. He's not in that. You're going to want to. He puts the want to in you.
Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. Today on Real Life, Pastor Jack, now in a message called Heaven, Part 1, continues a series called The Book of Revelation. In Revelation and throughout the Bible, Jesus has revealed to us who He really is. And now through the Apostle John, Revelation gives us an inside look at heaven and what we're going to experience there. You see, from heaven's vantage point, we're given a preview of what's in store for us. As a Christ follower, we see 24 elders that are seated on thrones and have a unique place before the throne of God. Now, these 24 elders represent the believers, which that's good news for all of us. It means that we have immediate access to the Lord and to His throne. So today on this part of the message, Pastor Jack goes on to say that with our eternal destiny being heaven, we can look forward to sitting in absolute peace and rest before the Father. We'll be clothed in a white garment and receive the golden crown of completion, which the Lord has promised to all those who love Him. And now in his message called Heaven, Part 1, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
The life of the Christian is the life that is Spirit-filled, the Spirit living within our lives. And that's an important thing because it has everything to do with the unique location that we'll experience in heaven, that proximity, and then also the unique practice, and that will be sitting down, being at rest. And listen, we can enter into the rest of God right now. There is a rest that comes through Jesus Christ. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3. Concerning Jesus says, who being in the brightness of God's glory and the expressed image of His person and upholding all things by the word of His power, when He had by Himself purged our sins. That means He didn't need our help. What did He do? He sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high. Jesus is not walking around wringing His hands, wondering if redemption is going to finally get pulled off. What is Jesus doing right now? He is seated on the throne. By the way, if you read the fine print, it appears the only time He stands up, we learn from the book of Acts, is to receive the death of any one of His children. Did you know that? The Bible says that Stephen said, I see the Lord standing at the right hand of God the Father. I see the Lord standing at the right hand of God the Father. It appears that Jesus stands to receive every child of God that dies. That's a great thing. But He's resting. And if Jesus is resting, shouldn't we be resting? Shouldn't we take ease, as it were, in the Spirit and rest in His promises? John chapter 17, verse 3 and 5. And this is eternal life, that they may know You, Jesus prayed, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom He has sent. I have glorified You on earth. I have finished the work that You gave Me to do. The work is finished. How so? John 19:30, Jesus from the cross cried out and said, it is what? Finished. Redemption was complete through Christ. That's the second thing we see, is that there's a unique practice before the throne of God. Not only a unique proximity, a unique place, but a unique practice in that we will sit and be at rest for all time and eternity. Now, those of you who are young, and it's hard to sit down, that is somehow in heaven going to all be out of your system. You're not going to be some bore in heaven, but you won't be thinking like this. It's like, man, come on, let's do something. I don't want to sit around heaven. You won't be like that. For there's going to be a lot going on, and it's going to be a blast, and you will not be bored, and neither will you be looking around saying, man, what are we doing next? It won't be like that. It will be spectacular. But your heart, listen, your mind, your heart, your thoughts, you will be at absolute peace and rest. And that's not boredom, and that's not some sort of laziness. It will be spectacular in Christ. There's a unique place. There's a unique practice, that is, we'll be sitting. And thirdly, look at this. These 24 elders speak to us about being involved in a unique protocol before God. And that unique protocol is this. It's the clothing that they wear. It says that they are clothed in white raiment. White raiment. The elders have a unique experience. It says in Revelation chapter 5, verses 8 and 9, that these four beasts and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb and they worshiped the Lord Jesus Christ. This is every one of them having harps and golden vials full of odors or incense, which are the prayers of the saints. Revelation 5, 9 says, and they sung a new song, saying, thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by your blood out of every race, tongue, people, and nation. The protocol is that these are saints declared so by God who have been redeemed. How? By money? No. By church attendance? No. By being good? No. No other additive. Just this. They were redeemed by what? His blood. And if you get that in your heart and your head, then God, the Holy Spirit, has you as a purchased possession. And the word is sanctified. The Holy Spirit pulls you out of this world, so to speak, and sanctifies you unto the will or unto the work of the Lord. And listen, that will and work that the Lord has for you and I, we will never quite be happy and fulfilled in this life until we are doing that thing. You need to know that, because some people say, well, I'm a Christian and I love God, but I'm afraid to let him have the reins of my life in this area of what he might have me do. What are you afraid of? If you are entrusting him with your eternal life, what are you afraid of? You know, the truth is, you want him as Savior, but you don't want him as Lord all the way. You know, we sang the song this morning, yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, yes. Maybe we shouldn't have sang that song. He was listening. Right? Yes, Lord, sometimes, amen. Yes, Lord, when I let you, okay. Watch out. We say, yes, Lord, yes, Lord. You know, you caught his attention this morning. Gabriel, Michael, listen, they're saying yes to me. So here's how it happens. Listen, I have never in my life seen someone be called of God and they're crying about it. Oh, Pastor, I can't believe it. I listened to that message you gave. I shouldn't have. Because I said, God, do whatever you want to do in my life. And I prayed that prayer. And now he's making me go to Bangladesh. I get in there and I'm good. And it's like this. Bye, my friends. I've never seen that happen. God, I don't know what you want to do in my life. I don't even know what I'm praying for, but I'm sincere about this. Use me, take me, make me yours. You know what happens? You'll be tooling along, doing your life, and all of a sudden you'll have this thought. Bangladesh. And you look up Bangladesh online. Bangladesh, wow. That's interesting. I want to look at this. I want to look at that. I want to rent this video and see, learn more about Bangladesh. I'm going to National Geographic. Bangladesh. What about Bangladesh? And then you'll have this thought in your head. Are there any churches in Bangladesh? And you look that up. Why are there so few churches in Bangladesh? Hey, Pastor Jack, did you know there's so few churches in Bangladesh? I'm thinking, okay. Apparently, Bangladesh is a big deal to him. God called me to Chino Hills, not Bangladesh. So what do I say to him? Research Bangladesh. I did. This is what I found out. Oh, listen, pray about it. I can't stop praying about it. Really? Well, what do you want to do? I think I want to go to Bangladesh, at least for a couple weeks and just see what's there. You can't keep him from going to Bangladesh. That's how it happens, people. Did that make any sense to you? If God is calling you to go somewhere to do something or to be an usher, I want to be an usher. Why? I know, I just want to be one. Who's doing that? God's stirring you up. He's doing that. It's fantastic. No one's going to be in the aisle. I don't want to be an usher. Can you imagine? God doesn't do that. He's not in that. You're going to want to. He puts the want to in you. That's the joy of serving him. The unique protocol is this, is that they're wearing white raiment, which the Bible says is the righteous acts or the deeds of the saints. It's what you do. And you love it. Oh, come on. Let's go feed the homeless so I can get a white robe. That's not how it is. That's religion, actually, but that's not how it is. Revelation 19:7 says, "Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage supper of the Lamb has come, and his wife, the church, has made herself ready. And to her it was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, which the fine linen is the righteous deeds of the saints," or the believers. Isn't that tremendous? The 24 elders have a unique protocol in that they're wearing white. The Bible says you as a church, you're going to be wearing white. That's why a lot of scholars believe that these 24 elders represent that of the church. Fourth thing that we look at regarding these 24 elders is that they have a unique position, or possession, I should say. They have a unique possession before God, and that is that they have crowns of gold on their heads. Crowns of gold on their heads. We're going to just finish verse 4. We started at the top of verse 4, and we've come all the way down to the end of verse 4. That's as far as we'll go today. We'll pick it up next time, but let's end with this consideration. The 24 elders have a unique possession before God. It is this. There are two words found in the New Testament for crowns. Let me tell you what word is not found here. The word that is not found here is the Greek word diadem. You know what a diadem is. It's a crown that a king wears, a sovereign lord. Jesus wears a diadem. Nobody else wears a diadem. The word that is used here for crowns is the word Stephanos. If your name is Stephanie or Stephen, it comes from Stephanos. It's a laurel crown, a laurel wreath, we would call it. It's what they gave in the Greek games when you won your Olympic event in Greece. They gave you your Stephanos. It means that you ran the race and you were, out of all the ones who ran, you won. You're the champion in your field. You're the champion in your course. No matter what it is, you're the winner. And listen what the Bible says about that. It says in 1 Thessalonians 2:19, what is our hope, our joy, our crown of rejoicing, our winner's crown of rejoicing? 2 Timothy 4:8, henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord will give me. James 1, verse 2 says, blessed is the man who endures temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life. 1 Peter 5:4, and when the chief shepherd appears, that's Jesus, you shall receive the crown of glory that will not fade away. That's a great reference, that you'll get the laurel wreath, but the one in the world fades away, and you hang it up on your, you know, and when you lived in Greece back in those days, or, you know, you hung up this almost like a Hawaiian lei, you know, that looks great for the first week, but afterwards it's all dead, and you hang it up as a memento maybe. Well, Peter's saying, hey, you know what? There's a wreath that you get for winning a race in this world, and it fades away. You're going to get the Stephanos, the victor's crown, in the world to come, and it will never fade away. Well, you would say, well, is God giving me a crown? He's going to give me a crown? He's going to give you a crown. Now watch this. It says in Revelation chapter 4, verse 10, if you just look ahead there, it says, and the 24 elders fall down before him who sits on the throne, and they worship him who lives forever and ever, and they cast their crowns before his throne. Now you might say, you know what? Okay, if God's going to give us crowns, that's neat for all of you guys. You guys can have crowns. I'm so humble, and I am so meek, and all, I don't need a crown. Listen, when God gives you a crown, you better take the crown. There's a reason why he gives you a crown. No, I really don't. I'm not interested. Look, if you guys want a crown, you can have a crown. Me, I'll be so proud of the fact that I don't have a crown, because I'm so humble. Listen, the crown that he gives, as we shall see in a moment, is in response to the life that we've lived on this earth. Whatever we were faithful to for God and his glory, when we get to heaven, watch, he's going to give us a crown. You say, I don't like that. I don't want a crown. I don't want any attention. Wait a minute. If the elders represent us in heaven, what do? They fall down before the throne of God. Do you think you're going to do some falling down before the throne of God? Oh, yeah. What else are you going to do? It says that they cast their crowns before the throne of God in honor of him. They give back what he's given. It brings him glory. Having said that, give me a big crown, Lord. Load it up. Fill up the dump truck. I want to be able to go into heaven and be able to back up, fall down, and dump the dump load of crowns and rewards to his glory. No one is going to walk around in heaven like this. Whoa, man, look at my crown. No one's going to be saying, dude, look at his crown. That is spectacular. Where'd you get that crown? Faithful years of service. Whoa, watch out. It's so big. It's not going to be like that. You want to have as much reward in this life to the glory of God that when we get to heaven, we're going to cast it all down before the Lord. We want to give as much to him as possible. It's like giving gifts at Christmas. Just give it. Give it. You want to bless as many people as possible. Lord, here. I don't even know why I had it in the first place. I couldn't believe that you counted me worthy to even receive this thing. I didn't even think I was serving you when I was doing that thing. Here, take it. You alone are holy. You're awesome and wonderful. Lord, I'm just so happy to be here. And Lord, take all that you've rewarded me with. It's just amazing. You take it back because you alone are worthy. That's how it's going to be. A little bit more enthusiastic than that, but that's how it's going to be. It's going to be something. 1 Corinthians 3:8 says, now he who plants and he who waters are one, and each one will receive his own reward according to his labor. There you go. For we are God's workers. You are God's field. You are God's building. 1 Corinthians 3:14. If anyone's work which he has built endures, he will receive a reward that's in heaven. Colossians 3, verse 23 says, whatever you do, do it wholeheartedly as unto the Lord and not to people. Boy, you need to hear that, huh? Whatever you're doing for the Lord, do it for him and not for any man. Man, that's a great way to live. Knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't that liberating? Isn't that exciting? Well, I had notes all the way to verse 8, but this is about as far as we're going to go. In a moment, as we conclude this here, these guys, if you skip ahead to verse 10, actually, look at verse 8. And the four living creatures, each having six wings, that's for next week. That'll freak you out. Full of eyes around and within. That's very Lord of the Ring-like, you know? They do not rest day or night, saying, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, who was, who is to come. Isn't that interesting? References to Jesus' attributes, already established in the opening chapter of the book of Revelation. Look at verse 9. Whenever the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to him who sits on the throne, who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him who sits on the throne and they worship him who lives forever and ever, and they cast their crowns before the throne. And this is what they say. You are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they exist and were created. That's what we're going to do. And we walk around like this at church. Let's work. Okay. We're going to sing Jesus a song. Now, we should not come to church and be wackos about things and be a distraction and, you know, hey, what's going on? No, you can do that at home, personally. You can go in your prayer room or your bedroom or your bathroom. You can go nuts for God for all I care. That's fine. But you think about this. There needs to be a little, not to do it, but because it's real. You know, when we sing like that song, yes, Lord, yes, Lord. We need to at least be doing this. Lord, I don't even want to say anything to you unless I mean it. And this is how I think. I'm letting you into the deep recesses of my Looney Tune brain. Lord, it was mighty cold this morning, and I didn't even feel like being here. But I'm here, and I'm glad I've come. But Lord, I'm asking you right now to wake me up. I'm asking you to put joy in my heart. I'm asking you, Lord, to just absolutely cause me now to be true and sincere about these words that I'm being led here by Pastor Don as he's leading us through the music into the worship. I want to make this a real prayer of my life. So, Lord, as this song comes back around, I'm going to mouth these words. And though my voice may be not so pleasant to others, I pray that when you hear it, it will be the very expression of my heart. And here's what I always pray, you guys, in my head. Lord, if this is not my heart, if my heart is not sensing, feeling, believing what I ought to, I ask you to change my heart right now. That's what's so fun about this. Lord, I'm going to worship you. I don't feel like it. But Lord, I'm going to anyway. And I ask you to make these words that I'm about to mouth reality in my life. And then sing them. Close your eyes. Stop looking around. Get the words down. Sing them. Great practice for you. Because there's going to come a day when we're going to come before the throne. And when it's going to be great, we're going to be standing there. Watch this. Watch this. What? What's going to happen next? Didn't you read the book? Huh? The seraphim are shouting, "Holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty, who was, who is, who is to come." Now watch the 24 elders. Watch them. It's cool. Watch what they do. Down they go. Crowns going toward the throne. And it's going to be like the wave, you know. Hey, all right. Man, our moment's going to come. Yes! Wham! Lord, all right! You see, well, I don't think it's going to be like that. You're right. It's going to be much more radical, much more dynamic. When you see an angel that's got six wings and four faces on his head before the throne of God, and day and night, holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty. He's not going, holy, holy, holy. Oh, Lord God Almighty, who was it? Who is coming, the Almighty? Okay, we have to do it day and night. So take it from the top. Take it. None of that. These things, these angels are before the throne and they mean it. Holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty. Who was, who is to come, the Almighty? They mean it. And they do it for eternity and they mean it. That tells me I don't know nothing about where I'm going. Just enough to get me excited to want to be there.
That was Pastor Jack Hibbs here on Real Life Radio in his message called Heaven Part 1. Thanks for being with us today. We're glad we got to spend some time with you. Heaven Part 1 is part of Pastor Jack's series called The Book of Revelation. It's a series on the final book of the New Testament and the unveiling of future events for us and for the world. And we'll continue with much more next time on Real Life Radio. Hey, you know, February's book of the month from Pastor Jack, it's actually a movie, and it's called Genesis, Paradise Lost. When so many of us are searching for our ancestry these days, the movie Genesis, Paradise Lost takes us back to the beginning. Have you struggled with maybe sharing your faith and about what the Bible says about creation? The truth that God created the heavens and the earth is still a battleground that leaves a lot of Christians unprepared. But this award-winning film brings the first chapter of Genesis to life. Genesis, Paradise Lost is a stunning documentary that exposes the lie millions believe about evolution and gives the truth about who we are and why we're here. And more importantly, the truth about who created us. So explore the evidence and experience creation like you've never seen it before. Don't miss your opportunity to watch this very unique and powerful film. This visually rewarding film has the Dove seal for all ages, which means that you can watch it with the whole family and include it in your homeschool curriculum if you'd like. It's also a fantastic tool for witnessing and will open up some pretty interesting conversations. Genesis, Paradise Lost is available for a gift of any amount at our website, jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.